It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kington here with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Our opening music is in honor of Cramer, who turns 65 today. Happy birthday, man.
Well, look, I mean, no. I have some reading to do.
Yes.
I don't know if you can see it, but this is it.
As you tweeted.
And, you know, it's what's really interesting about this, it's impossible to understand.
By the way, that's just volume one.
It's a coloring book.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much. Yes. But, you know, I've got my work cut out for me. And boy, is it difficult.
Jim put it on Twitter earlier this morning. Our thoughts with Jim today. Futures a bit soft on this Monday
after the best weekly gain
for stocks in several months. China tries to get back to work. We got Powell on the Hill this week and a lot more. Europe is slightly red. Yields near a one-week low. Our roadmap begins with the fight to contain the coronavirus as the death toll surpasses that of SARS. Factories and businesses in China trying to resume operations.
Plus, we're on deal watch. In fact, we got a few this morning. Simon Properties buying Taubman Centers. Xerox raising its bid for HP, also goes to a tender offer. And L Brands nearing the sale of Victoria's Secret.
And the Tesla roller coaster shares are jumping once again ahead of the bell. First up, those stocks are set to open a bit lower as concerns about the coronavirus remain in focus. The number of confirmed cases in China is now well over 40,000, including 910 deaths. That makes the outbreak deadlier than the SARS epidemic of 02 and 03. It continues to slow or shut down retail businesses and manufacturing, and a slew of headlines now every morning about who's open, who's not. Foxconn. Apparently opening in not in Shenzhen, but in Zhangzhou. And so we're getting to know Chinese geography pretty well today.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I hear from a lot of retailers is, yes, many of the companies that we deal with have moved out, except for little pieces of the puzzle. One person tells me, well, it's buttons. Another person tells me it's the top of a rod they may be selling that. So that there's going to be real disruption, not just in tech. Say 85% of something you were making has left. That 15% is hostage. So people are very underconfident about whatever they ordered. They order a lot before the traditional vacation. They always get long, but I think they're going to run out. Not today, but in a few weeks, they're going to run out of product.
Yeah,
that we know is big.
Supply chain. It's all about what fits in, what is. And there's, listen, granted, during the last 2 years of the trade war, as you pointed out many times, people did shift. But there's plenty there, Jim.
Oh,
there's plenty there.
Yeah, that's what we should never forget is that a very small group has really switched because it's just so advantageous doing business there. But I also, you know, I don't want to, we got to stop scaring people. I've been looking at this incredible Johns Hopkins map. And the thing that it has more than anything else, it has total recovered. And as of today, and it updates constantly, there's 3,563. Now, I know that's small versus the number of people who have gotten sick. But I find that very hopeful, without being a Pollyanna. It's got the number of total recovered. So it's, you know, you always tend to think, they caught it. Well, that's it. This is the opposite. So I encourage people who are as depressed about this thing as I am, take a look at the site.
Yeah, it's difficult. World Health did talk about some cases regarding people who had no history of travel to China.
I know.
Which makes you think about, well, how else is this spread undetected so far?
I'm not going to disagree. And I know that it doesn't add up to wanting to buy a stock. It's just not, it's nothing that says, you know what, this is my chance to make some money.
You know, we all hope that it won't and has not spread and will not widely around the world. But the impact in China is still so dramatic.
Oh,
and it's still in process. And now we do know, right, that most of these openings we anticipated seem to have been delayed. Obviously, we watch Eunice's reporting very closely.
She's
on having people on the ground there is the most important thing. Any number of investors I speak to are on constant calls trying to understand what's going on there. Because that's the key. What is this going to mean to the Chinese economy and therefore to the world economy as a result of supply chains being disrupted, companies not being able to deliver on what they said? And then once it is, thankfully, over, hopefully over, how much of it will be recovered, so to speak, in a resumption of growth? But these are all questions. You know, on Friday, we saw a number of people substantially cut their growth forecasts to zero, practically, for China. But There's nothing going on in that country.
No.
Very little.
But I also feel like this is one where, I mean, I always think I have a really good line on something. I'm not saying that we're overmatched by this, but I am saying that from the business side of things, we don't really know enough. And I feel like that we don't, it's going to come out what is what people don't have and what don't, like what factories are really critical. And that'll be our job. Our job, I don't think, is to assess the speed with which this virus goes. But I don't like the fact that so many of the companies that I deal with don't have an answer.
It's true. And look at the number of companies now who have pulled out of Mobile World Congress. We mentioned Ericsson last week. It's now NVIDIA. It's Amazon. It's Sony. Because wireless conferences tend to bring a lot of travel in from Asian countries.
Yes, and 5G is being delayed because of this. Companies that had made their really their next move based on 5G, our numbers are going to have to get cut. I mean, there's something that I know. And it's going to be brutal because that was the thing that you wanted to buy. A lot of things that you felt were going to happen in the next 6 months are not going to happen.
All right. A reminder, by the way, don't miss a special report tonight on the coronavirus outbreak at 7 p.m. Eastern time right here on CNBC.
Now, there we've done an amazing coverage, and I think people, it's very middle of the road. No one's ideological about it. It's really great to have that update. It's good that we're doing this.
Yeah, a nice basket of information if you've been out of pocket during the day. As for Tesla today, it is rebounding after that roller coaster week in which the stock went to record highs, fell into so-called bear territory, finished Monday to Friday gain of 15%. For the week, almost $170 billion worth of stock was transacted. It's up almost 90% for the year. I love this. It's moved by $100 in either direction for 3 out of 5 days.
What a just dream come true for option players. Eunice, you said something really amazing at the 5 o'clock. She was saying that one, the workers are there. They've got the masks. They're being bussed in. And it makes me think, did he even think about how to handle that, too? I mean, she was saying that's the factory, the model factory of how you beat it. And that those Teslas are going to be coming out. Now, will they be able to go to a showroom and buy? I don't know how it's going to work in terms of congregating anywhere. But he's producing the car. A lot of others, I think, can.
Journal today takes a crack at the pain of the shorts for the year. I love the one quote is, I got my butt kicked. And then I don't know if you want to mention this Forbes piece or not. Seems a little bit out there, but throwing out ideas that Google could acquire them. And make a run for $2 trillion market cap.
What was curious about the last quarter was they spent so little time talking about Waymo. So the conspirators could say that the reason why they didn't talk about it is because of this. I mean, in other words, the absence of Waymo.
Right.
That's a little far-fetched, but you know, people...
People always want to dream about the mega cap deal that the likes of Apple or Alphabet or even Facebook, they don't do them.
No, they don't.
Facebook actually more so than the other two.
Really
Facebook
to
actually
it.
Has taken, I mean, what's the WhatsApp I mean, deal is a fairly large deal for a private company.
Right. But every time you mention to Apple what could be a good deal, very rarely, but almost every time they say no. They don't say that's interesting. We're not going to do that.
The idea that.
Remember when I used to float Pandora?
The idea that Musk would ever sell that company is absurd.
Yeah, that is just
But it is interesting to talk to a certain extent about the hopes and dreams of investors that somehow Alphabet or Apple are going to get active in mega cap M&A, which they, of course, could do in a way that no one else, no other companies can give them their size. But they don't.
No, that's not.
And that's not their thing.
Yeah,
it's not the way they operate.
It's kind of like the old IBM,
maybe
not the new IBM.
There's always something that changes the conversation.
But you know what, David? I know, and I don't mean to segue directly to you, but if you had told me this morning that a large mall company would buy another mall company and double down, I would say that could be fanciful, and yet I wake up to a deal that I didn't dream of.
No, and I'm glad you brought it up. It's worth, because we mentioned at the top of the program some M&A news, and this is led by this Simon property deal to acquire Taubman. And to your point, Jim, the market agreed with you and everybody else agreed this is not going to happen. This is a 52% premium, not on the unaffected stock price, which you typically see, but on the affected stock price. Taubman was up last week because there were some reports of potential talks between the two. And this is on top of that. And so Simon obviously does see a significant entry point here that they were willing to pay in terms of consolidating. They're going to own 80%. The Taubman family rolling in. Eventually, they have the right to, or Simon has the right to buy their interest. So it's going to be separately managed, in a sense, controlled by Simon.
Right.
Important to point out. But the overall price is going to add a bid to the entire sector,
absolutely,
one would expect.
Although this is all A plus A mall.
Mace Rich up sharply this morning. Simon seems to be responding positively.
Isn't that something?
To the deal.
Well, you know, I pulled up with David Simon. I hope I'm not violating any off the record, because I was at a DJ Saul concert, who's very good, but I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
I am, yes.
But he's talking about $33 billion in dividends that Simon Properties is historically undervalued. When I see that the stock goes up, well, there's a way to raise the stock, not the dividend.
Yeah.
And I think that when I went through the properties that Taubman owns, I realized I've been to quite a few of the malls, and they are the highest end.
But when was the last time?
Actually, pretty recently, because there's one a mile from my house.
All right.
The mall at Short Hills.
Right.
And it is, I went to return something. How about that?
That's all you need. They just need traffic.
Yeah.
But it's funny because when I'd heard this actually originally as a possibility, I did approach a couple of my key guys in real estate who I sort of rely on for their insight. And they were like, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. anything that is a domestic operation with no exposure to China, you wake up and you say, you know what? I really gained this correctly, and yet you knew you were wrong until today.
They're buying it at a cap rate of 6.2%.
That's reasonable.
It's not bad.
See, Simon had just bought Forever 21, working in a way to buy a vulture. And also today, Sycamore buys just a cure mall denizen in Victoria's Secret. So I came away saying, I guess I'm just too negative on the thing I'm most negative about,
which is the future of the mall.
The future of the mall.
Yeah. Do we have a little time to roll into Xerox and HP? 8 o'clock, Xerox came out. Listen, we told you all along the process here. They've been following it. They would get their financing lined up. Then they would move to a higher bid and to a tender offer. It happened today. They go to 24, 1840 in cash, 0.149 Xerox shares for each HP share. You can see Xerox's response. Of course, HP shares are up overall this morning. This is not unexpected. The question is, will HP ever choose to engage? What is it that they're hearing from their large shareholders that at least gives them the sense that they don't need to engage and that they can continue to simply say no? That's the question. That is the riddle that Xerox continues to try to solve here. Of course, we've got HP earnings coming out shortly. We'll see how they are. One would expect they need to be fairly strong, at least. Remember, Xerox did have good numbers. Because it is the pull, so to speak, of the potential synergies here that at least one would expect shareholders are going to be focused on. Who delivers it, how it's delivered, that would remain a key question. However, nobody seems to dispute the possibility that you could save a lot of money.
Yes.
But at this point, it doesn't appear that there's any movement. We'll see whether this helps with that side, that being the HP side, guys. And from what I'm hearing on the Xerox side, they want to enter discussions with no preconditions, essentially saying, listen, we're not about social issues. We're not about board composition. We're just about getting a deal done. And they feel like they've answered all the potential questions. First, it started with financing, and it started with industrial logic, and then it came to price. Well, they're saying, hey. And by the way, they may have more to go. If you notice in the, they gave a little more insight into their financing, and they said in there that there are multiple different sources available to us for funding the incremental consideration in our increased offer. Now, that means already the financing they've lined up, but this got my attention. We're currently in discussions with multiple institutional investors that have approached us and expressed interest in committing capital to facilitate the transaction. That, to me, says, it's possible they could also find other interest for their equity or preferred that could even fund a higher portion. You're going to get to a point very soon, though, where 50% of the combined company would be owned by HP holders if you weren't already there with the increased ratio. They don't seem to mind that either.
Yeah, I wonder. There's not. When you speak to a lot of people in tech, they feel that there's a blip up in PCs right now. which of course plays to HP. But very few people think they're going to be strong by the end of the year. So those who are banking on HP continuing with strong numbers, I think are beginning to waver.
Right.
And thinking, you know what, wouldn't it be great to diversify away from PCs? The other one had been diversify away from Xerox's business. So it does seem like dominoes are occurring. I saw Chip Berg at the Super Bowl talk about his chairman. I mean, these guys are, every minute, this is the topic.
Yeah, it is.
Every minute.
HP doesn't have a poison pill. We'll see if they put one in. Wachtell is their,
would that be next?
Wachtell's their counsel. Yeah, that'll be next. Okay. Their side, most likely.
Wow. All right. When we come back, we'll get Cramer's Matt Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell. A lot to get to. We'll set up the earnings we got coming in the next few sessions. Powell on the Hill tomorrow. The budget comes out today. More Squawk on the Street from the NYSE straight ahead.
All right, we got about 12 minutes before we get started with trading. Let's do a birthday edition of today's Mad Dash. I don't know how this happened. I think I knew you when you were 40.
You did. You absolutely did.
Oh.
Yes. Not only you knew me before, you were at the fabled 40th.
Yes. Yes.
This one where Karen Cramer thanked you. I mistakenly, let's say I imbibed too much and historically did throw up all over my shirt and was walking around without a shirt until someone gave me a shirt. I slipped on the throw up on the way downstairs.
Oh,
Slayer was playing across the street at Gallagher's 33. It was suboptimal.
That's not going to happen this time.
No,
see,
it's
these
not.
Some of these things you learn in the ensuing quarter century.
You know, when you've had too much and you throw up and you think you can contain it by your hand.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It don't work that way.
No, but you think that no one's looking.
No.
It's like, no one's paying attention to me, are they? The birthday boy. Anyway, let's segue.
Didn't expect we were going to have that conversation.
No, that was, you forgot you were at the fabled 40th.
Yes.
It was this big surprise, and it was a down moment for me. Okay, David, this is a warming up moment. One of the analysts I don't talk about enough is a guy who really works hard. His name is Oliver Chen at Cowen. And frankly, he is one of the most hardworking people I've ever met. And he has a piece this morning really talking about how Walmart could miss the number. Now, this is not what anyone is thinking. He thinks there could be a shade down to Walmart. He actually prefers Target. It's a very well thought out piece, and it makes me feel like, wow, talk about something very few are talking about, given how Walmart has been beating numbers and beating numbers and beating numbers. So it would be a wake-up call that Walmart's not invincible. So let's be conscious that this could be something that no one's looking for.
Can you give us a quick sense as to why he thinks it's a possibility?
Well, you know, it's kind of across the board.
Uh-huh.
But he does talk about a lot of things. He calls out a lot of things that are quite good. Evolving digital strategy, very good. Grocery, very good. But it's just a kind of, hey, it's not blowout.
Right.
And in this market, you know, you kind of have to blow it out. So just be aware. I happen to think that this is a great long-term hold, and you don't have to do anything. I don't think Oliver would disagree with me, but he does prefer Target to Walmart.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on Walmart.
Oh, excuse me, David.
Oh,
don't worry about it. No one's looking.
Nobody's. Those days are over. You don't do that when you're 65.
Will you stop? I'm 55. It's the turn back time tour.
We'll turn back. Actually, we'll fast forward to opening bell a few minutes from now.
Last week's gains were the best in several months despite Friday's losses, and we'll pivot earnings season to those with a January quarter this week, a move to more retail names and tech. Futures starting out a bit soft, opening bells in about 6 minutes. Don't go away. And as a reminder, you can always watch us live on the go on the CNBC app. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in just under 3 minutes on a busy Monday morning. A lot's headed our way this week as Powell heads to the Hill tomorrow and Wednesday. Earnings will heat up, obviously. We got New Hampshire tomorrow. And already, Jim, Lilly's going to be a mover at the open.
Yeah, so many companies have failed at Alzheimer's. I know that people are making a great deal of it with the stock. But that was not accentuated at all when I spent with Mr. Ricks, Dave Ricks. And I'm surprised that it's down this much, given the fact that it wasn't like he said, and wait till you see what we've got. It was the opposite. He didn't talk about it at all. So the idea that the company's being penalized this much after I don't think it was up in anticipation tells me that you might be getting an opportunity here. Mr. Ricks is one of the best. They had some fabulous numbers last time. Please don't write them off because of something they were not tallying at all. It's not like Biogen, where they really kind of, you could argue, bet the house.
Right.
Just
they,
the opposite.
Were they what?
Biogen bet the house. Lilly.
But we should point out Biogen, of course, those lows in October. Then it reported that look again at the data where they did see some efficacy.
Yes.
And were there Alzheimer's?
Arguably the FDA
therapy?
Did.
And then they came back. That stock has rebounded dramatically.
Yes, it has. But this should not be Lilly being in the doghouse because Mr. Ricks, who is really a remarkable CEO, has never given this even lip. He's never said, listen, look out for ours, which Biogen was a little more positive. J&J once explained to me that this is really the most difficult one. I know
Alzheimer's, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Alzheimer's. I know that we're all kind of really perplexed and scared of Corona. Alzheimer's affects a huge number, and we really don't have anything.
And the costs for the healthcare system are
immense.
And right, there's no cure.
I mean,
we are making real progress. The industry is making real progress on cancer. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah, and that's where the big spend is.
But when it Alzheimer's would be by far the largest drug in the world if somebody actually found something that not just stopped the progression, but cured it.
Right. Now, Moderna is a stock, and you'll see that it trades up constantly. And I spent a lot of time with Moderna when I was at the J.P. Morgan conference. They are the ones. I mean, Fauci's saying that they could have something in a couple of months. And the reason is because all they do is this. All they do is personalized vaccines, and their one was going to be cancer. They think they have hope there. So they work with Amazon Web Services. You try to come up with a huge number of possibilities. So I understand that. I look to them. But I think that not to Gilead as much. I do not look to Gilead as much.
There's the opening bell and the S&P 500 filling in at the bottom of your screen. It's Generac at the big board today, maker of generators for homes and businesses, celebrating its 10th listing anniversary at the NASDAQ, the Bowery Mission, helping the homeless since the 1870s. Some of the macro desks got to work early for the week, Jim. Morgan Stanley, downside should be limited to 3,100, upside to 3,500 as the liquidity-driven bull market remains in charge.
Well, every time we see that downtick in interest rates, you keep coming back to, okay, I want to be in 2.7% yielders. You know, you start lowering what kind of yield you need, and companies that you didn't regard as being yield-oriented suddenly become yield-oriented, which is a lot of the S&P, because there have been serial increases. Because ever since the Great Recession, companies have been hoarding cash, and when they get too much cash, they dividend it back to shareholders. It's been pretty much, even though they always say, and if we saw growth, we'd give it to that, very few companies see growth, so they just return and return and return, and now their yields are kind of sweet. A lot of them. You know, here's a good example, Broadcom, okay? That's ABGO. And this company has just raised dividend. It's a tech company. It yields 4%. So suddenly you have a kind of interesting, maybe impacted by China, maybe not, but protection.
Yeah.
When something that you never thought, an actual pure semi, because they own CA, but a pure semi, Texas Instruments. This is what I mean, 2.8. Texas Instruments, good balance sheet, 2.8. Suddenly, that's a yield
play. Beats 1.56.
Does.
Yeah, it
really
does. And, you know, not of course, those are people who think that rates are never going to go up again, but it's rather incredible.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's been a long time since rates
moved
up appreciably, and every time they ever do, they just go back.
Yep. Yes, they do.
Contrasted with China, CPI overnight, 5.4 is an 8-year high. Now, a lot of that's protein. Pork doubling in a year.
Right.
But that's sort of limits to some degree what their bank can do.
They're short a lot of different food commodities, but they have been reluctant, it seems, to do anything our way. They cut the tariffs. One of the things that was really discouraging was dealing with a major health company. I don't want to mention because it was offline, that has said to Beijing, whatever you need, we have offered tremendous services, whatever you need. And Beijing gave them the hand, said, listen, we're really not interested in your help. And then they come out and say, we're not giving them any. You know, they have been, the doublespeak out of Beijing is really extraordinary.
Now,
some fiery commentary on the Sunday shows from the Chinese ambassador. Something to watch.
And I'm dealing with a company that wants so much to help, and they won't let them.
One thing that's going to help growth would be getting the MAX back up in the air, and a lot of commentary out today that it could happen before too long. Story
yes.
in the Times. Got a test flight coming in the coming weeks. And then the real mission begins, and that's convincing the public that it's a safe area.
Right. I got the same. I'm pretty close to that one. I got the same call, which is that it is pretty imminent. As a matter of fact, everything, every hoop they've been asked to go through, they've done. The new hoop of the twisted cable is something that it has never been an issue in millions of miles. I agree with you. I mean, what do? Do you just go back and call it the 737? Do you get rid of the MAX because there's enough of the old plane that you don't really have to talk MAX? Now, that's branding to some degree, and we know who's talking about branding is the president. But I offered, okay, here's one. I offered to do my show on the inaugural flight on the plane.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I offered to do it, and I did it in front of my wife, who did not fight me. Now, I don't know what that says about our relationship.
Come on. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, it will be fine.
I'd be happy to fly on that with
it's,
you.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's going to be the safest plane ever.
Yeah.
And this was a promise I made Thursday, and I think, you know, I'm pushing on this.
It'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Boeing is the top Dow performer right now. Apple's the worst, as some, I don't know, you call them analysts, Jim, trying to model in what would happen if production fell 10% in China.
All right, let's take a longer term. Let's take a 10-year view, because I was 55 10 years ago. Mm. The Apple stock was at $27.87. So you may want to trade Apple. I would like over the last 10 years to invest in Apple, and I'm going to make another 10-year bet. I think they're that good, and I think that they're going to weather this. And people who want to say that it could trade, what are you going to trade down to 290? How much will Luca Maestri buy there?
You think it's going to be a $13 trillion company?
I don't think we're going to look at companies. I remember when you had Merck and Coca-Cola cross the $100 billion barrier. And people just said the $50 billion, the $10 billion barrier. And everyone thought that was just crazy. So I don't want to rule out something that seemed crazy 10 years ago for certain. I mean, here it is. I'm looking at it, $27.87, realizing, hey, maybe it's done. Maybe, as Tony Saganegi would have said, that its best days are behind it.
It's true. And it's cool. More than a 10-bagger since
more than a 10-bagger. And, you know, if you were making, you know, of course, it was before this. This changed the world.
You're talking about an iPhone.
iPhone. Yes. And I think that that's what did it. Now people say, wait a second, there's nothing new. And they tell me that how? Via their incredible.
You're hearing some ringing in your ears.
Okay, there's white things in my ear as I talk.
I don't know if it's my hearing issue.
How many people do you see walking down the street talking to themselves and just saying, wow, I mean, those guys are just nuts.
Right, and then they got the things in their ears, I know.
I mean, and Tim Cook made us all look like we're nuts.
Yes.
And we pay for it.
How much people share, actually, in their conversations walking down the street. Well,
I heard a guy break up with his girlfriend.
I heard somebody talking about intimate things. Yeah.
I got a phone call from someone really important, and I didn't have my phone handy on my hands. And it was someone, I will just say, let's just say they were in the government, okay? And I'm saying, you know, I'm like giving top secret, like, schedules. And it's like, and people are looking at me and be like, oh my God, he's Maxwell Smart. He's like, and I happened to be buying a jacket because it was really cold. I was like, look, let me put the sleeve on.
It is.
I mean, it was insane.
It is amazing.
Tim Cook has a saying, many things to many people that they have no right to know.
They need a cone of silence over their
don't
ear
wait.
Things. Yeah, because they're screaming at
yes,
you.
Yes, Chief.
Yeah. I really don't.
The guy changed our lives.
Good.
And yet people just don't give him any credit. And it's insane that he doesn't get any credit. I talk to my phone. I have ear pop. I mean, what is he going to come up with next? How about ideas that I can say that are sweet? Siri's been very fresh to me of late. Oh, so what? Do you know that my wife is in Poland and, you know, unfortunately handling funeral that she actually directed, and she did it with Siri speaking Polish.
Wow.
How about that?
Translation?
Everything was Polish. Thank you, Tim Cook. Oh, no, he does nothing.
Well, Tim Cook wasn't at the Oscars last night, but Jeff Bezos was.
Yeah.
And actually was in the crosshairs of Steve Martin's and Chris Rock's jokes. Take a quick listen.
Jeff Bezos is here.
Oh.
Jeff Bezos.
Wow, great actor.
And he's got cash. When he writes a check, the bank bounce. Like, Jeff Bezos is so rich, he got divorced, and he's still the richest man in the world. He saw Marriage Story and thought it was a comedy. Steve, do you have anything you want to add about Mr. Bezos?
No, I like getting my packages on time.
It's funny. Netflix, though, for all their efforts, guys, really, Laura Dern and Marriage Story for supporting, but wow, Irishman gets shut out again. I wonder if we'll have discussions in the coming weeks about their future film strategy.
I think it's the first time this week. They send you emails. They drop a lot of stuff over the weekend. And I mentioned it. I was with a group of younger people because it was a parents' weekend in Georgetown. And, you know, these are all cord cutters, cord nevers, frankly. And they're all, like, they're very wired to it. And they didn't want, there wasn't anything for them. I mean, typically, they're the people who tell me what to watch. It's like, don't have anything right now. It's a real hiatus. Hiatus? I mean, Netflix is putting out movie after movie.
They are. I'm finding plenty.
You are?
Yeah, sure.
Right, but you don't like
to go back to that you may have missed.
But you don't do anything.
Any number of the other ones.
I said you don't do anything.
That's true.
You don't even go to a Taubman Mall?
No, I went to the Nordstrom yesterday.
You did? That Midtown, isn't it great? I've gone there for fun a bunch of times. What do you think?
Returned something that my son bought.
But yeah. You know,
he returned. He actually got something.
You should go to Kohl's. You should go to Kohl's to return something.
Shaking everybody's hand. I'm like, no.
Man.
Shaking hands.
Give me the Purell.
No, shaking hands.
By the way, David, when you're up with Purell, it's 20 seconds. Less than 20 seconds, it doesn't work.
Rule.
Really? I got a mask that says, I am a germaphobe. Man. It makes it a little lighter when you put it on. It's like, ha, ha, ha.
Maitre d's in restaurants?
Yeah.
No.
No, I have so many fist bumps when I was in Washington. My knuckles hurt.
Speaking of the comps, QSR comes out, and Popeye's comps are up 34.4, which, the comps
have
gone from 3 to 10 to 34. They're calling the chicken sandwich maybe the best fast food menu addition in years.
Well, I'll top that by saying that the new Old Bay Franks sold out in 30 minutes, and I'm going to offer my bottles for $50 on eBay, which is the only business eBay is doing, apparently. Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
Well, it was a joke.
I got you. I got the joke, kind of, I think.
Jesus, my birthday, you could laugh.
Great. There's Ed McMahon. Yes!
Oh, ho!
Okay.
You're good. You're very good.
Thank you. Thank you. eBay is down, actually, guys, but Tesla is up 9%.
Well, that's, or isn't that typical?
Percent.
It's like, it's Groundhog Day.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's Groundhog Day when it comes to Tesla.
Remember,
it was down big one day?
Look at this. Dow's gone green after a futures indicated a 100-point drop. Really quick, RBC ups NVIDIA to 301, Jim. We're going to get NVIDIA on Thursday night.
I have Take Two Interactive on tonight. I know the last quarter was disappointing.
Yeah.
But the ray tracing, which is the new way video games that NVIDIA has, you can't tell the difference between the actual movie of, let's say, a Space Wars Stormtrooper and a ray trace. It's now perfect. And yes, the next thing is he will make you look perfect in a video game. You.
Right. Well, Strauss-Zelnick doesn't need that because he actually isn't even Photoshopped.
No, he's really amazing. And, you know, one of the things he does, it's ostrich meat.
Well, interesting.
Ostrich meat has no fat whatsoever.
Ostrich meat?
Ostrich meat,
I think it's more about doing 100 pull-ups.
I thought it was
a lot.
Now,
the whole thing's revolting, isn't it?
Stuff.
I'm going to ask.
He's like your age.
I asked him. Shut up. I asked him to take his shirt off last time.
He's 60.
Yeah. I said, just do the thing with your shirt. And then, of course, he said, well, what am I going to do with the microphone? Well, this time I'm going to have him tape it.
Tape it to his chest.
Yeah, but I don't even know if there's any, no hair either. The guy's so perfect, you know. There's nothing he would rip off. And he's tiresome.
Yes, tiresome.
Well, now he's going to cancel. Well, I love the guy.
Give him a hard time, man.
What about what? That he looks great?
Yeah. Well, not that. He's written a book about it.
Wendy, his wife, is sensational.
Aging.
He's sensational.
Not aging.
My wife loves him. My ex-wife loves him. Thank you to my ex-wife for wishing me happy birthday, Karen. Everybody loves
you. You look good, too.
Yeah, you do.
You're hanging in there.
You do.
Thank you. Man, I work at it.
You do.
I work
early.
At it. When I was 55, I used to say I'm a young-looking 65. I'm not bringing out the 75 card, I'll tell you that much.
No. Although,
look at him. Will you look at him?
Yeah.
That's not Photoshop. That is the actual Strauss-Zelnick. Yeah. The numbers were Photoshopped. Just kidding.
So Dow's green, Amazon all-time high here, 2110. Well, watch that. Let's get to Bob Pisani on the floor. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, so far the low print was right at the open, Carl, and it's nice to see turning green here. Boeing up $4 almost. That's a major factor in the turnaround here. But we opened pretty weak here, and it's these concerns over what's going on in China here. Banks, the yields down again today, second day in a row. That's an issue. Semis were negative but went positive. That's certainly positive. Energy, no energy at all there, of course. We've seen that for a while. Consumer staples, utilities, defenses were leading early on. But as you see, this has flipped around a little bit. The big question, of course, is this divergence in stocks and bonds. That was the big issue over the weekend. What are these weaker bond yields generally trying to tell us? I don't normally put up bond ETFs, but you see they're all up. This is the 10 to 20 year ETF, the 20 plus. Price is up. That means yields down. Even corporate bonds, LQD is the largest corporate bond ETF. Those prices are moving up. And the market seems to be implying here that there's some issues still floating around out there with coronavirus. What we're watching, what the equity market watches, is there any signs of reopenings in the factories? Because that's a good indicator here. Kia announced they were suspending production in South Korea due to a shortage of parts from China. But Tesla says they're resuming production. Samsung said they're going to start TV production at the Tianjin factory February 17th. So you see, this is very mixed news here. We just don't know. It's not quite clear right now. And the market's reflecting, certainly the bond market, reflecting some of that uncertainty. Meantime, we are about two-thirds of the way through earnings season. Let's call it good, not amazing numbers. The fourth quarter, 2.3, this is going up, which is a good sign, and that often happens. But this is what we're watching here. This is not going in the right direction. This was 4.8%. These are estimates for the first quarter, 4.8% a week ago. Today it's 4%. Now, that's a much more aggressive reduction than would happen under normal circumstances. That is reflecting the concerns about coronavirus that's out there. So this is the problem here. Remember, prices are going up. We had a great week last week, despite Friday. So prices up, earnings estimates coming down, meaning the market's very pricey right now. 18.9 forward earnings. And those are conservative numbers. When you start getting bigger concerns about coronavirus factor, and this number goes over 19 very quickly. It depends on whose numbers that you're looking at. So, again, this is a big issue we need to figure out. This priciness in the market's got to resolve itself. We need earnings to stabilize, and we need a little better news on coronavirus, or people are going to start screaming immediately saying the market's too high priced and be vulnerable for a sell-off. You want to watch these energy stocks still. Many of them are sitting right near 52-week lows. A lot of them the small mid-cap names, so Schlumberger, Marathon, Halliburton, ConocoPhillips, all notably weak again today. Carl, back to you.
Bob, thanks. Bob Pisani. Let's get to the bond pits as well this morning. Rick Santelli at the CME in Chicago. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. Even though it's a cold winter in Chicago, we continue to see Treasury yields melt like chocolate on a sunny day. And we, if you look at a two-year note yield, you'll see we're down 2 basis points there. If you look across the whole curve, we're virtually parallel shift, down 2 basis points across all maturities. Year-to-date of 10-year is somewhat enlightening. As you see, we are very close to the low close of 2020. As you open the chart up, let's go all the way back to the Wayback Machine of the spring of 2012. The reason this area is making so many investors nervous is because we are sitting so close to all-time low yield closes in 10-year notes. 2012 and 2016, that level was 136. And of course, as we move to 2019, in the fall, it was right around 146. But the point of the matter is, it's like a magnet, making many investors a bit nervous, especially if you are already long, looking for rates to continue, whether it's because of central banks and balance sheets, or whether it's because of the uncertainty of corona, or the counterintuitive nature of how all of that is pushing inflation up in China. Will there be a channel for that inflation? Remember, if you look at the 90s and 00s, one of the big features as the WTO in China was really getting in gear in global trade was how they were exporting disinflationary pressures throughout its supply chain and markets in the U.S. and, of course, in Europe. Maybe the reverse of that for a while. And finally, the dollar index. This chart starts on February 3rd. Which is every day of trading in February, and the dollar continues to march higher. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick Santelli, thank you very much. When we come back, we'll talk more about the markets. Dow's down 7. Make sure you check out our podcast as well. You can listen to the opening bell hour or Squawk on the Street wherever you listen to podcasts. S&P 3327, back in a minute. Take a look at the FANG board today. You do have Amazon at an all-time high at 21.11. The rest, not too far away, varying degrees, but you got three out of the five in the green. Dow's down 18, and we will get stopped trading with Jim after the break. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
If you do want a real, other than the incredible thing that Simon's done, he's $33 billion in dividends, take a look at Federal Realty, FRT, which is run by Don Wood. Their dividend was, distribution was $2.66 10 years ago. Now it's at $4.11. They are a shopping mall company that has done tremendous things adjacent to their malls, including built a lot of apartments and a lot of offices. So if you are inclined to say, you know what, the group's undervalued, take a look at Federal Realty. Don Wood is rather amazing. He's terrific.
All right, Jim. What's on Matt tonight?
My birthday. I think. Take Two Interactive, where Strauss will particularly make me feel old. It's kind of a comparison. But okay, I can handle it. I'm a grown-up. I'm not worried.
I think we actually have a treat for you right here.
Oh,
it's
my.
It's Stacey Cunningham.
Stacey.
Of the NYSE.
Happy birthday, Jim.
And no age. No age. Thank you, Stacey. You are beyond thoughtful by leaving off my age.
It's a special day, Jim.
No, you guys are great.
I love the
exchange. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's great to be down here with my partners and all the people who work with me. And you all make me feel very young. How's that?
We're the lucky ones, Jim.
Oh,
people always ask,
you.
What's it like? And I just say it's an education every day.
Oh, thank you.
True.
I wish my mom and dad were here because they would love to hear that. Pop loved you guys. Well, no. Pop Boy said, I think Faber's mad at you. He didn't turn your way. Did you see the way he had his arms? But Carl, he never once said that about you. And you, I always had to assure him that you were lukewarm with me, not angry.
Come on.
He loves you so much. It's also like when I was a little boy. Hey, you know, David's a little better than you on that today. I watched David. He's better. That was another thing I had to hear in my life. Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Long may we reign, as you like to say.
Fist bumps. Everybody. Everybody. Or we should start doing what they do in Japan.
All right. Thank you, guys. You know what? There's another show.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, another show.
Another show. After that.
And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be here.
That's true. Highlight of the week, you think? Is it going to be Cisco, something else? We're going to get Pepsi and Under Armour and some others?
Pepsi's actually a very important tell because that's been the fastest growing CPG. And if you really think there's going to be a recession and they deliver the number, that stock will shoot right up. It'll be a great tell of what's going on. Thank you.
We got a lot headed our way, as we said, over the next five sessions at
Absolutely.
Least. Jim, we'll see you tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Mad Money, 6 p.m.
Thank
Eastern
you.
Time, of course.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.